Amen. It's great to be here tonight. You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And as you're turning there, I need to get out my list of people I want to get even with. It's been a long time coming, Brother Schneider. How many of you remember me when I was in college? Please don't tell your kids any of those stories. I was sitting there on Tuesday night. Some of the candy sale guys came through, and I was looking at one of the young men, and he said, "I'm an Edwards." And I'm like, wow. Derek Edwards' son, Fred Edwards' grandson. And I thought, man, time is slipping away from us. And then I see Brother Almanza tonight here with his great-great-great-grandchildren. And time has just moved on, amen? And I sure enjoyed our time here while I was here. It was just seems like a brief moment ago, but hard to believe it's been almost 30 years. And tonight I want to just kind of walk you through the testimony of what the Lord has done in my life and in my heart and in the work of New Hope Baptist Church. Many of you have prayed and many of you have given in the offerings and many of you have partaken in other ways. Some of the college guys came through and passed out tracts and knocked on doors, and some people came through and just spent some time, and we enjoy having you. Anybody that comes through is welcome to stay, and if we have room, we'll put you up. We enjoy people in our home, and we've had a great time, and it's been enjoyable. Davey is with me. He actually is serving with us there. He actually is leading the Bible study tonight while I'm gone, and I had a few things I was going to do to embarrass him, but I'm not going to do that tonight. You can just ask him about those when he gets back sometime. But tonight, as we look at this passage of Scripture, the Lord led me to this passage of Scripture in my walk with the Lord. And if you don't have a walk with the Lord, you're going to need to get one, especially in the days ahead. Amen. But in this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6, I was reading through my Bible as I do every year, and I came to this passage of Scripture as we were planting the church. And it was still an idea in our hearts, and it was still something God had put on our desire there to do for Him, but wasn't really sure of the direction. And I never really wanted to start a church. I really wanted to just take a church, and we felt like that's what the Lord was going to have. But as we got farther into it, the Lord began to open more and more doors, and we kind of came to this passage of Scripture, and this has been kind of my testimony for the last 11 months. And I want to just share with you a little bit of a timeline of a testimony, where we're at, where we're going, and what we need to see God do, and just kind of fill you in a little bit. And, you know, there's people everywhere that need the gospel. It's not just here. On Monday afternoon at a skate park with my boys, my oldest son led two teenage boys to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just, there's people everywhere that need the gospel. Amen. And we just want to be instruments used of the Lord. But in verse 7, we're going to begin in verse 7. We're going to read down through verse 9 and then jump to verse 32. The Bible says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking, but not ye, therefore like unto them. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Jump with me to verse 32, and we'll read that there. The Bible says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of all these things." Let's pray tonight. Lord, we ask you for your blessing. We ask you for your power. We ask you, as we give a report to these people, Lord, that they will find the investment that they've made in New Hope Baptist Church a worthy investment and of an eternal return. We thank you tonight for your goodness. We thank you for how you've led us. We thank you for how you bless each of us tonight. And we count it a privilege to be called a Christian and to be able to know you as our Savior. We thank you for that. In thy name we pray. Amen. We read the familiar verse in verse 33. And if I asked you to quote it tonight, you could. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But what really got my attention is in verse 9 and verse 8. The Bible says, "But your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask." I have 4 children. And I like it when my children ask, and the older they get, they don't ask for food. They're starting to ask for money. Does anybody know what that feels like? I need five for this and four for that and seven for this. And it adds up after a while. After a while, you're like, okay, hold it. Where's it going and what's it for? Praise the Lord, we have a father that owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Amen. And here in this passage of scripture, I was added into the December of 2017, January of 2018, and God had placed upon our heart to start the New Hope Baptist Church. I was standing at a job site, my phone rang, and I didn't recognize the number, and I answered the phone, and the man on the other end said, I understand that you want to start a church. I said, I don't really want to start a church. I think the Lord wants me to start a church. And he said, well, we have just moved out of our old building. We are moving into our new building on the first Sunday in January of 2018. We want to give you all of the things that are left from our church plant. I had told nobody we were starting a church. We had just prayed and spent time with the Lord. So we loaded up a truck. We rented a truck and we went to the state of New York and we met this pastor in Rochester there and we preached for him on a Sunday night. And ironically, we actually helped him start his church 4 years ago, almost to the day. And that night after church, the whole church went over and they loaded up the 120 chairs and the mobile baptistry and the PA system and the piano, and they just shoved it all in the truck, and we had a word of prayer and we were like, praise the Lord. I mean, God had done a big thing for us. We were like, God has answered a prayer. Really hadn't been praying for church furniture. I just figured the Lord was going to open a door and we'd take a church. And so we're headed back from New York. And do you know, when you seek the Lord, you want to obey the Lord. And so we're headed back from New York and we have a truckload, U-Haul full of stuff, and we need a place to put it, and we don't have a rented facility or anything. And my son looks on the dash and he says, Dad, look, it says if you rent from them, you get a free month's rent. Of course, I'm a Baptist preacher, and that's a good price, amen. And so we went there, and they said, sure enough, you get the first month's rent free. And this was January. We weren't starting the church until September. So we said, well, we'll take that first month and let God open the doors from there. When you serve God, it's an exciting time. When you run a bus route, or you work in a ministry, or you teach Sunday school, watching God answer prayer is the biggest joy a Christian can have. But sometimes as Christians, we become satisfied with the flesh and we stop seeking God. We kind of be content with where we're at, or our age justifies our non-participation, or our whatever becomes the excuse of the reason, and we kind of get satisfied with where we're at. Kind of like we do when we go to these buffets and we eat more than we should and we get all done and we say, you know what, I got room for a little more ice cream. And then we go up there and we, of course, get a little ice cream and a little carrot cake and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And we come back and we stuff ourselves and we get totally satisfied. But with God, you have to keep seeking the Lord. The Bible says, seek Him, well, He may be found. And we, of course, are on this journey. It's January. We're headed into the early months of last year, and called your preacher and asked if we could come for the mission preaching conference and set up a display. And people are like, you're going to go start a church? Good luck. Not here, but other places. And you're going to do what? Why would you do that? I mean, aren't there churches out there that don't have pastors, and all of those questions and all of those things? But you know, when you seek the Lord, He has a way of confirming what He wants. And age is no limit to what He wants. May we be reminded, decisions made for the Lord are decisions we should keep made to Him. Amen. So we started on this path, and I kept reading this verse, knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. So we had been given the chairs, and we had a place to go, and we had bought a home in the area, and we began to travel the road, and we needed a little bit of support, and so we began to pray that God would open doors, and didn't want to spend a lot of time out traveling, just wanted to kind of get with the people that knew us and just kind of get this thing going. And I find that when you seek the Lord and you become unsatisfied, you kind of get to a position where you try to stay close to the Lord. There's no better place than close to the Lord. No better place. When you are close to the Lord and God's answering your prayer, it does something for you as a Christian that nothing else can explain. I remember traveling to one church and we went into the church and we were kind of telling what God had done and the prayers that he had answered. And I said, we've been given a piano. It's an upright piano and it just kind of sits there, and we're going to haul it into the building and out of the building every week, and we're going to have church and it's going to be great. The pastor came over and put his hand on my shoulder and he said, you're going to carry a piano in every Sunday and out every Sunday. I said, I'm not going to, but Davey is. And he said, amen. And he said, you know, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in all of my life. I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. He said, and instead of letting you carry that piano, we're going to give you one of our pianos. And they had a mobile piano with a case for it to go in. And so we left that meeting and God had met another need. You know, the Heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of before ye ask. Tonight there are parents whose children are, hearts are maybe not going the right direction, and the Lord knoweth what ye have need of before ye ask. Tonight there are young people that God wants to call to the ministry, and you're fighting it, and God will take care of you. And I'd encourage you tonight, if God's leading in your heart, give in to God and begin to seek Him, and don't get satisfied with this world, and just try to stay close to Jesus. About 2.5 years ago, my youngest son came to me and he said, Dad, I want a bicycle. I said, son, you have a very special bicycle. There's not another one like it. It had like a blue rim and a black rim and it had a yellow seat. And do you have any of those like those at home? They've been made from a hodgepodge of junk. And he said, no, Dad, I want a real bicycle from the store. I said, son, those are a waste of money. I tell you what, you pray for one and God will give it to you. That's we parents, we're spiritual, you know, amen? And so every night in devotions, we'd say, are there any prayer requests? And we'd go around the room and John would say, I want a bicycle. And I can remember we'd pray, and one Thursday afternoon, my wife called me and she said, you need to come home. I said, what's the matter? She says, I'm not going to tell you until you come home. So I went home that day and I said, what's the matter? She said, God's answered a prayer for Jono. And my neighbor who lives on the next street stood on our porch and knocked on our door and said, my son bought your son a bicycle and here it is. God smote my heart. Because if God can answer the prayer of a 7-year-old boy, how much more can he do for people who seek the Lord? And every time we came to a crossroads in the church plant, we began to think, where's it going to come from? I thought, if God can put a bicycle on our front porch that has no eternal value, how much more important is it to God that this thing get going? And boy, it would stir up my faith, and we began to pray for a building and we began to ask God to open doors. And I remember in 1987, there was a little girl who fell down a well in South Texas. You might have remembered that. Her name was Baby Jessica. And I remember as a nation, America held it with like an anticipation of what was going to happen with this little girl who was lodged in a well casing of an oil well or some kind of a well out there in the Texas desert. And I remember when they pulled that little baby to safety, before they pulled her up, they lowered a microphone down into the casing, and they could hear her singing little nursery rhymes, and you could hear her, you could see pictures of her mother there at the well casing, and she was just waiting with an anticipation of hoping one day to hold her daughter. And boy, as a Christian, we need to have that relationship where we're with the Lord and it's a tender time and it's a sweet time, and we find ourselves trying to stay close to the Lord. There's nothing like a hard time to push us back to the Savior. I received a text up here on the way this today as we were traveling. A young man that works with us, he texted me and he said, my sister, who's 21 years of age, is diagnosed with leukemia and she went in the hospital today. Would you pray for my daughter, my sister? Folks, we have a world that needs the Lord. Tonight we need to not just be unsatisfied with the world. We need to be staying close to the Lord. We began to travel through the summer months, and God began to answer prayer, and we went into another church and they said, "Do you have any needs?" And we said, "Yes." And I looked at their pulpit and I said, we're praying for a pulpit. You know, I don't know what God would do tonight, but we're asking God to do great things. By the way, I was looking around earlier. I'm not sure what we need, but I'm sure there's something we'll be missing on Sunday morning. But just rest assured, it's still in the ministry. Amen. And they said, "We got a pulpit." So we went down in the basement and dug through this closet, and they brought out a pulpit that probably should have been thrown away 20 years ago. And we put a coat of stain on it, and we used that pulpit as we got started. And God met another need. The Bible says He knoweth what you have need of before you ask. Tonight, as you stand as a parent and you have maybe a financial need, or tonight as you stand as a college student, you need God to hear your prayer and answer that need and send that thing that your heart is longing for. My friend, tonight, there is no corner on the market of God. There's no remuneration. God's willing to meet all of our needs. We just have to continually come to Him. We still needed a building. I like things done very nice, decently, and in order, and I'm envisioning this beautiful church building that went bankrupt and they moved out and the bank says, "Move in and you can use it." That didn't happen for us. We're praying and praying, and we're winding down to the time of the church getting up and running, and God's meeting needs as we travel from here to there, and He's putting things in our paths, and He's kind of working things out. And we began to ask ourselves, "Lord, we need a building, we need a building." And you kind of sometimes find yourself in a panic mode, like, can God really answer this prayer? Does He really understand how important this thing is that we get what we need? And I remember 3 weeks prior to the launch of the church plant, we had no families. We had no people move with us. We had minimal financial support. But the Bible says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We found a little community center, and we started to rent the community center. And I think you've seen the pictures of it on the videos that you've seen. And the stipulation was we had to be packed up and gone by 3 o'clock. Because there was another church that came in and they took it from that time on. And it was very reasonable. It was $200 a week and we could afford that. And so we began to get down to that first month, and we just began praying, and God opened the door. And then a group of teenagers at Fairhaven who really don't even know me or know what's going on, God led the youth pastor to lead them to a point of giving $800 for the first month's rent. The Lord knoweth what you have need of before you ask. Time's ticking away, and we're traveling this road, and we want to see the Lord answer this prayer. And the Bible says in verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Sometimes it's hard when you've got circumstances and you're maybe working the job and you're trying to manage the bus route and you're trying to put all these things and you're looking for that balance in the Christian life. But if we keep Him first, the Bible says that in the end of verse 34, it says, "For tomorrow take no thought for the things of itself." God's able to meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible says He can do abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think. And sometimes we fall short and we don't remember really what kind of a God we serve and what kind of a relationship we've really been given. And we don't really understand how great it is to know this thing called Jesus Christ, person called Jesus Christ. We traveled this road and we're about 3 weeks out, and we got all of the furniture out of the mini storage, and we got the vacuums out, and we began to shampoo everything and get it cleaned up. And we needed the Lord to open a few more doors so we could begin service on that Sunday of September the 16th. A pastor called and he said, "We want to come and help you knock some doors and maybe pass out some flyers." And we said, "Wonderful, that'll be great." And so he said, "I think we have 8 or maybe 9 people coming, and you just be ready, and we're going to go out and we're going to hit as many as we can." I said, "Praise the Lord, you guys come on." And I still remember standing at the McDonald's, and in pulled 1 vehicle, 2 vehicles, 3 vehicles. 38 people piled out of the vehicles that day. We gave them all gospel tracts, and they all hit the streets and started passing out flyers 1 week prior to the launch. Do you know God is able to do abundantly above? And he understands what we have need of before we ask. Sometimes we just forget to ask. So we began to pray for a trailer to haul everything in. And most of you know that my dad pulls a trailer behind his motorhome. And I talked to him. I said, "Dad, would you like to put that trailer in the ministry?" My ministry. He said, "Son, you have God. You pray to your God." I'm embellishing it a little bit. I'm filling in between the lines. He said, "My mother said you can have it, but my dad wouldn't part with it." And we began to pray for a trailer. And I always, man, I like nice things, amen. So I picked out the nicest trailer on Craigslist I could find. I said, if God wants us to do it, he wants us to do it right, amen. First class all the way. So I took a picture off of Craigslist and put it on my prayer letter. And I said, God wants us to have this trailer. I know it's from heaven. Come on, you guys have done stuff like this. I'm going to run 200 on my bus route in the spring push, right? So we sent this letter out, and man, I can just see manna falling from heaven. Pastor Dameron, I can see the checks of thousands and thousands pouring in. I was going to have to tell, like at the tabernacle, I was just going to have to tell people to stop giving. There was too much. Well, you probably know the story. $100 came in. I took that $100, I cashed the check, and I put the $100 bill in a manila envelope. Every morning I went to my office and I put that $100 bill there and I said, Lord, I need a trailer and that's not going to do it. But you said you would meet my needs. And I'll be honest with you, I got a little discouraged. I felt like maybe God didn't hear my prayer. He didn't understand how important this was or what needed to be accomplished in this situation. And so I began to just kind of think, well, we're going to have to take a flatbed trailer and haul it all up there on a flatbed trailer, which is not going to work when it's raining. But if that's what we got to do, that's what we'll do. So we began to pray. And one Sunday prior to the church launch, we had $100. I had the bolts off of all four tires paid for. I just needed the tires and the trailer. A man called me. I walked out of church and a man called me at 12:05 and he said, Pastor Betrayal, how's your trailer fund coming? I said, well, not very good. We've had $100. We need 6,000. Folks, it doesn't matter if it's 6,000 or 60,000 or 600,000. He knoweth what you have need of before you ask. This man whom I've never met said, we would like to buy that trailer for you. I looked at the phone, Pastor. I'm like, did he just say what I thought he said? Brother, I think it was, we had told him 6,000. I said, you know, price has gone up and it's up there around 10. And I know that might be stretching a little bit, but I know you can do it because God rewards faith. I'll be honest with you, I began to cry. We have a God that answers prayer. I hung up the phone. I wanted to be Pentecostal for a few minutes. I was like, yes, God does it again. I called the man who had the trailer and I said, you're not going to believe this. Somebody just bought this trailer for us. They're making the check out to you. Where can I meet you? He said, I'm coming your way and I'll deliver it. What a coincidence. No, I think it's chapter 8, verse 8. He knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. To date, 26 people have trusted Christ as their Savior. To date, we have knocked on or passed out over 55,000 pieces of literature. It's worth it. The Bible says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I can't imagine tonight being a young person of any age and not wanting to see how big God is. Seeing just what God can do. There's no market to getting prayers answered. There's no age limit on what God will and won't do. God just needs to find people who are willing to step out by faith. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have not too far from us one of the largest Christian churches in America. They have a membership of over 40,000 people. And they have a big church building. But I'm often reminded it's a still small voice. I'm often reminded that little is much when God is in it. I'm often reminded God was never impressed with the crowd. He always used the individual. He always used the Elijah or the Noah or the Moses. He always used the Esther or the Mary. He always used the one that just stayed close to Jesus. We find why David was a man after God's own heart, because every time David fell on his face, he fell towards God and he said, God, purge me. My job tonight is to stay right with God. Which sometimes that's the biggest thing that any of us do. We need God's help in doing that. Tonight, as we move along in the church plant, we're traveling into the summer season where we're at now. There's a softball field and there's all kinds of drinking and stuff that goes on there on Saturdays and Sunday morning. We got to show up, clean off the cigarette butts and get rid of the beer cans. And a few weeks ago, they said, can you move your cars? We don't want to break any windows with the softballs. And it's kind of getting complicated. So somebody told me about a building and I began to pray. And so I went and met with the people and they said, well, we're okay with you having Thursday night Bible study, because we hadn't started that yet. And so a month ago, we started our Thursday night Bible study and we've had four of those so far, and people have come and people are coming. And so we approached the people about maybe using their building on Sunday, and the ideal time is 11 o'clock and their service is at 10:30. Now I'm praying a big prayer. I'm praying that God will do amazing things. I don't know what time slot we're going to end up with, but it seems like the Lord's in it. And we find out this coming Wednesday what time we can have the building on Sunday. And I was worried about the building 9 and 10 months ago, but it's amazing as you trust God and He opens those doors. He provides those things as we really need those things. And sometimes our attitude is maybe to get a little ahead of the Lord. And sometimes maybe our attitude is to forget how good God has been. And sometimes we need to sing what the songwriter said, I need Thee every hour, most gracious Heavenly Lord. I want to encourage you tonight. He knoweth what ye have need of before ye ask. Christmas time came around and there was a Christmas offering taken here at Fairhaven. And I believe Pastor Dameron called and said that he wanted to help us a little bit. And so I came into the foyer and it said $27,000. I was like, whew, that man has faith. I almost sent him a picture and said, preacher, this is too much. A few weeks ago, we have a building fund for renting the building that we're going to be moving into. And I went to my people on a Sunday morning and I said, the Lord knoweth what you have need of before you ask. And I held up a check for $1,000 from the Fairhaven Baptist Church. So you may not understand it, but your faith is affecting other people. We're in a meeting out in Pennsylvania and we didn't have a video projector, and February was the month of missions, and we wanted to show a video presentation every Sunday morning to just get people looking towards missions, because that is the Great Commission, amen? And so we were trying to figure out what to do, and we were walking out of a church on that night, and we were actually with Brother Andy Almanza that night, and he looked at me and he said, we had these two 55-inch TVs given to us, could your church use one? I said, could our church use one? We don't have anything. Yeah, we can use one. And we took it home and used it. And we actually, for the month of February, we were able to use that. And as we began to go down this road this past week, a pastor texted me and said, hey, we have a laminated map of the city of Louisville and we'd like to give it to you. And I said, hey, we'll take it. Laminated map's almost $500. And somehow God just keeps meeting the need. Do you ever stop asking no, because the Bible says, Ask and ye shall receive. I've drove by many churches and asked that they would go bankrupt and go out of business because I want their building. God hasn't answered that prayer. And I've prayed I've actually sat in their parking lots and said, Lord, you know they're not preaching the gospel. Put them out of business. I even did the little Elijah thing, but it didn't help. If you don't know what that is, see Brother Eric Ramos. He showed me what it was a few months ago. But I'm telling you, my heart has been stirred to do more. Every day we get back from soul winning on Saturdays and we get back from this and it's like, who got saved and what happened today? And man, I wonder if they're coming tomorrow. And Sunday morning arrives and we're supposed to move into the building on May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We have a tent revival in the city of Middletown there. We went to find a lot. And I went to the city hall and I said, I need a permit to have a tent revival. They said, you don't need a permit. Just let us know what you're doing. I said, well, praise the Lord. So I began to look for lots. We couldn't find a lot anywhere. And finally, on Tuesday of this past week, I pulled into a funeral home and they had a big lot. And it wasn't part of the funeral home. It was just next to the funeral home. And so I went in and I said, hey, I'm Pastor Betrell and we want to have a tent revival. Can we use your lot? And he said, no, probably not, but let me talk to somebody. So yesterday morning, about 10 o'clock, a man called me and he said, you know what? There was a church that had a tent revival here 30 years ago in that exact same spot. And you know what? We'd love to let you set up a tent on our property. Now, they may kick us out after we start preaching, but we're going to get it there and get it going. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's amazing how God answers prayer. And it's amazing how God leads you if you just take that next step of faith. I'm not telling anybody here tonight anything you haven't heard in some other form or fashion. But I want to end tonight with a story that God used to help me in our church plant. We sang the little song, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness. It's amazing how our children know if we're doing that. But I like how Jesus in the verse prior to that says, Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Everything you'll ever need, He already knows about. Every valley of death you're ever going to walk, there'll be the Lord there to support you in that valley. Every trial your family will ever have, Jesus will be there with us. Because He promises us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. 3 years ago, we were on a missions trip, actually as part of Fairhaven. We had the privilege to go to couple different countries, and we ended up in the Philippines on one of our legs of that trip, and we went to a man's church, and the man had three boys. All three boys worked in the ministry with him, and the only room in the whole church that air conditioned was the preacher's office, and they said the reason they do that is because American preachers can't take the heat. And so me and my dad, we went into the pastor's office, and the preacher was there with his three boys, and he said, I want to tell you a story. He said, my wife found out that she had stage 4 cancer. She found out that she wasn't going to live very long and she wanted to do something for the Lord before she went on to heaven. He said, we put an air conditioner in this office and my wife requested that she be brought to the church and she wanted to live her final days in the church office. She said, that way, if any church people want to come and see me, I'm right here. She said, I love the Lord. I know the Lord. And I'm going to see the Lord. So it doesn't matter. She said, but before I do that, I want you to take all of the possessions that I have, whatever they may be, and I want you to sell them. Because I want to do one more thing for God before I die. So they did. They set tables out in front of the church and they put all of her clothes and jewelry and anything her children didn't want were all on those tables. They sold every last earthly possession she had except for the clothes that were on her back. She laid in that office until God took her home. Before she passed away, she mailed out a check for a little over $2,000. And in the country of the Philippines, that's a fortune. A check for $2,000 and she gave it to the building fund. And I thought, you know, if somebody can do that in their last hours, how much more can we, who are able-bodied and have all that we need, how much more could we really do for God if we just surrendered to Him and turned it over? Tonight, we seek the Lord. We say satisfied. We stay close, but we have to surrender to the Lord. That pastor shared with us that his wife went out into eternity, and there on his wall is a little plaque and a little deposit slip of the last thing that she did for God. May I encourage you tonight, do something for God. Whatever the age is, do something for God. I mean, if you've run out of energy, pick up a phone and call somebody. If you don't know what to do, find something. Your preacher will make a way for you to do something for God. Don't let age or physical limitations keep you from making the effort. The songwriter said, I need thee every hour. I have four children, and I don't know that I love anybody more than my four children. They'll often come to me with requests, and the truth of the matter is I almost always know what they want before they ask, because I know my children. That's how God knows you. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. He's waiting for a mom or a dad to get in a prayer closet. Say, Lord, I need you to answer my prayer. Pastor Betrayal, how's the church plant going? It's going well. We have about 18 to 20 people that are coming, a good core group. God has allowed us to see visitors every month, sometimes every Sunday of every month. We're not over, we're just beginning. And I am so encouraged by what God is doing as He opens the next door. I'm talking to people tonight that have been saved for 50 years. God's not done until He calls you home. It's time to get back in the race. God's not done until you've breathed that last breath. It's time for you to get that Bible and get alone with God and say, you know what? I'm going to find out before I meet heaven. I'm going to get with God. And begin to seek the Lord. And the Bible says He will be found. I'll close with this tonight. My four children, I love them as much as anybody, more than anybody actually. My four children all have their own nature. Anybody who has children know what I'm talking about. And I constantly have to adjust their nature. You know what I'm talking about, preacher? I constantly have to work on things that need to be worked on. Constantly watching and making sure the devil isn't getting in. You know, that's what the Lord's doing with us tonight. He's watching our hearts. He wants us to know that He can and will meet the need if we will just ask. Tonight as we close in prayer, the Lord knoweth what you have need of before you ask. What have you asked that God's not given? Well, the fact is that prayer is too big. No, we serve a big God. How can God answer that prayer? I don't know. I don't know how God could give us a trailer, and I don't know how God could give us a piano and a pulpit and all of those things, but somehow He knew what we needed, and He met the need in His time. God, give us tonight a heart to get with God. Let's stand together tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed.